Today, my friend, we consider Omar Khan in all his glory or lack thereof so far as the Steelers general manager. In this time, in this year, in this season, in this offseason, how Omar Khan is really in position, I think, to put his stamp on this franchise. In fact, I think that the Mike McCarthy hire was largely an Omar hire, a guy who was familiar with, a guy he no doubt lobbied for, a guy the Steelers targeted once they knew he was available, and really, in the end, it seems, didn't seriously consider anybody else. The minute that their NFL requirements were fulfilled on interviews, it was boom, Mike McCarthy. Limits, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Joe. It is wonderful to see you.
It's better to see you, and I brought you another Egg McMuffin, didn't
you did.
I?
And I really appreciate it. I'm wondering if there is starting to be a little bit of extra motivation to try to put some more weight on me from
well,
the Egg McMuffins.
I think that'll help. I do think that'll
help. Which I appreciate.
Help, but I really...
Fast
yeah,
metabolism.
I don't think you eat enough. And I think sometimes
no.
that may affect your mood during the show. Honestly, oh. that was one of my motivations. Plus, you like Egg McMuffins,
I
right?
do. They're very good.
So I'm just doing that as a friend, one friend to another.
Thank you, friend. I will be very bubbly and excited for most of the show today, I'm sure.
I'm glad to hear that, I think.
All of the show today.
Bob is a cardboard cutout again. Ron, we've taken him off of our YouTube show, at least for today, at least for the early parts of today. So Omar Khan speaks at the Combine. There's news there. The newsy part, and I'm going to get to more of Omar's, well, his track record so far, the present and the future for Omar. But the newsy part of this is he said Broderick Jones might not be ready for the start of camp. Is that right, Limits? This is all happening real time, by the way. So as you get clips to play, just let me know. We'll let people behind the scenes of how things work like a well-oiled machine between you and I, yes?
Correct.
So just let me know on that. But he did say that.
Yes,
right?
It was from Ray. Ray Fittipaldo put it out there saying Omar Khan said he did not know if Broderick Jones would be ready for training camp after suffering the serious neck injury in November.
Wow. So as that stands right now, it feels like it would be almost derelict of duty to give him that fifth-year option, right? I mean, that
yeah,
would be
agree.
Nuts for the money involved there. That's a lot of money.
Well, you're talking about what could be a career-defining injury.
That's really too bad. And who knows? He may be perfectly fine in the middle of camp or ready for the season. I don't want to jump the gun there, but that's news right there. And man, does that affect the Steelers draft coming up here? Do you trust Dylan Cook? Or is this now a position of need? That's what I'd be asking, wouldn't you?
I don't really trust Dylan Cook. So yeah, this should be at least a conversation to be had. First round tackle again.
That sounds crazy
yeah,
when you say it
does.
Out loud, but that might have to be the conversation here.
Well, what are some of the
I did not expect to hear that. I thought that I didn't expect. If he was asked today, I would have thought, Broderick's on track. Haven't made a decision yet about that fifth-year option. He'll compete for the job. We'll see. Blah, blah, blah. How many guys are they going to draft? And I know these are extenuating circumstances, but you could have reasonably asked this question even if he was healthy. How many of these guys are not going to make it to a second contract that they draft? A yep. limitless wonder.
Well, the most important positions on the field are quarterback, who gets to your quarterback, and who protects your quarterback. And they just seemingly cannot answer left tackle unless you move Faltanu over. And he played so well at right. Do you want to risk that?
I mean, Dylan Cook was pretty good, but the sample size is smaller. I was going to say smaller than you, but now that you're eating an egg McMuffin, I think that things have changed.
Is it minuscule? Like how Aditi said the chances were that Rodgers comes
yes,
back are?
Yes, minuscule. That's the thing, and he wasn't great in the playoff game. Nobody no. was. Their offensive line got swallowed whole. I mean, they were just crushed in that game. So we have the specter of Omar Khan. And we look at his record limits. And I'll be honest, I think the three drafts, by and large, even if Broderick Jones is a miss here. How is that Egg McMuffin good? You just took your first bite.
First bite.
They are good, aren't
good.
They?
Yeah, especially when they're warm.
So are the pancakes over there, I have to admit, Limits. They really are.
I didn't know they had pancakes.
Yeah. They have a pancake platter virtually.
Wow.
Yeah, little hash browns, little bacon, maybe an orange juice on the side.
No, you really get it all.
Even if Broderick Jones is a miss, I got to say that Roman Wilson is a miss. You're not going to hit on every single guy. But in those first couple drafts, they have Joey Porter Jr., who absolutely now looks like a keeper. Man, if he hadn't panned out, it would be shredding time for Omar. It really would when you think about that draft. But to his credit and Porter Jr.'s credit, he's turned out to be a pretty darn good player, I think. That's the way it looked. Keanu Benton looks like a player. Mount Washington was a pretty good pick. Nick Herbig was a great pick. It's hard to complain about that draft, honestly. Even with the first round guy, if he goes down here. Then you have Fatanu, Fraser, Peyton Wilson, Mason McCormick from the second draft. That's a pretty good draft. It is. And then you have Derek Harmon. We don't know about the rest of that draft yet. That draft's in question because Caleb Johnson looks like an unmitigated disaster right now. It's early yet, but we're behind 8-0 in the second inning on him. Jack Sawyer, who knows? He was okay when he got in there, showed some, you know, promising signs. I'm not going to go too crazy on him. Y.A. Black, we'll see about him too. He looked okay. Will Howard, the future of the franchise. In the sixth round, I guess we'll find out about him. That draft is in question. Derek Harmon does look like a keeper. I'll say that. I don't know if he looks like Mean Joe Green. He seemed to tail off a little bit after a pretty good start when he was in there anyway. So that draft we'll call incomplete. The one before that is trending toward a B+, an A maybe, A-. Fatanu, Frazier, Peyton Wilson, McCormick. That's an A-, B+ draft. You agree on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Solid depth with McCormick later in the draft as a starter, and I don't think you're going to try to replace him. He's played well enough.
I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Peyton Wilson tailed off in a big way at the end of the year. So did his playing time in some ways as they went to different alignments defensively. But he looks like he's going to be a starter for a while, and then Fatanu and Fraser look like, you know, building blocks on the offensive line. Roman Wilson, not good. And then throw out Jones from the previous draft. You have, like I said, Porter, Benton, Mount Washington, and Herbig. You get four guys from a draft who can be impactful players. That's pretty good. So my problem, by and large, isn't really with the draft necessarily with Omar Khan. It's just that nothing's changed. For as much as maybe the philosophy has changed, however you want to look at that, like a little bit more of a swashbuckling mentality from the old school Steelers, although that kind of started to change anyway, like with trading a first round draft pick for Minka all those years ago, like taking a quarterback with the 20th pick, but both turned out to be, well, certainly the second one, ill-fated. They had already started to change their ways a little bit. He's increased that. But the records are the same. Nothing's really changed. And the failures so far have been, they haven't found a quarterback. And believe me, I put that on Tomlin. And these drafts too, by the way, I should mention, because I've ripped Tomlin for the drafts. When I mention these have been good drafts, Tomlin gets credit for some of that, for sure. He gets credit for some of that. He has final say or had final say on picks. So if I rip him for the failures, Najee Harris, Kenny Pickett, I have to include him in the successful ones as well. So I want to be careful about that. But the records and how the Steelers have actually performed in Omar's first 3 years as GM, no different. No different. His pursuit of a receiver, F. Several of his signings, his acquisitions, Fs. I think of Patrick Peterson. Cam Sutton, 2.0. I mean, the list goes on limits. I don't have the list in front of me. Juan Thornhill.
Chuck Clark.
Darius Slay.
Jabril Peppers.
I mean, even Kyle Duggar at the end, and I still remember the email, or maybe it was a tweet I got from somebody like three games into Kyle Duggar. You gonna admit you were wrong about Duggar? No, not yet. He's had a couple good games. Can we relax? There's a reason the Patriots got rid of him so easily. And I think we found out by the end of the year. So overall, here's what I would say about Omar so far. Is pretty good drafts, with Tomlin getting credit too for those. Two of them anyway. We'll see about last year's, how it goes here. Not real impressed for the most part with the veteran acquisitions. There have been some good ones too. Kenny Gainwell, for example, was a great signing. The total inability, almost comical at this point, to shore up the receivers. And even the signing of DK Metcalf now appears to have been a reach and the spending of too much money. And then the overall record. You are what your record says you are, and so far Omar Khan's been mediocre, period. Now, having said all that, how much power has he really had? That's an open question. When we're talking about the Steelers hierarchy, it seems to me that Mike Tomlin was more Omar's boss than the other way around. They could paint themselves as partners. Tomlin had incredible powers, as much power as any coach in the National Football League in this organization. And when Omar replaced Kevin Colbert, I think it just emboldened and empowered Tomlin even more. But now Tomlin ain't here. And that's why this is Omar's chance, I think he believes, and I think it's a fact, Omar's chance to exert more power and influence in this organization. This is it. And I think step one was him lobbying hard for Mike McCarthy. Maybe him and Art were on the same page from day one with that. I don't know. Nobody appears to know. But man, it's awfully interesting that they really don't appear to have considered any other candidate seriously at all. It was Mike McCarthy or bust. And Mike McCarthy's going to come in here, sort of the last chance saloon for him from 1137 Greenfield Avenue. And I don't think he's interested in buying the groceries. I think he just wants to coach a football team. This is not a guy who's going to have a ton of personnel power, I don't think. So what we're looking at with Omar is a huge leap in influence and power in this organization. And my first question for you is that a good thing? Do you trust Omar? If the reins of the Pittsburgh Steelers in a big way are being handed over to Omar Khan, do you like that? Do you trust that? Do you think it's a good thing? 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. I'm not sure it is. I really don't think, and I don't know, this is fact more than opinion, that Omar is really a football guy. That's why Andy Weidel's here. Who knows for how long with Weidel? I don't know. I'm not sure. I think Omar's a very sharp guy. I do. He's very smart, obviously. Cap manipulation, things like that. And by the way, the Steelers also have some money to spend. I'm open-minded about the Omar era, as I'll call it, starting. And I think it really is starting now more than it did 3 years ago. I'm open-minded. He's got money to spend. He's got picks and lots of them. At a draft right here in Pittsburgh. He's got opportunity now. He hired the head coach, I think. At least I think it was his idea, basically. He lobbied for it. His friend from a long time ago. It's the Omar era in a lot of ways. And while I'm open-minded, I don't love it. I don't love it based on the fact that he's really not a football guy. And based on what we've seen here in the limited sample size. I hate that phrase. Why did I just use it again? Limits. I'm never using the phrase limited sample size again. I hate myself already for using it twice today.
You already have limited and limits on your mind all the time. So
That's just, actually a good point.
That's why.
I do. So open-minded and not feeling great about it. How's that? That's where I am with the Omar Khan era as he speaks to media today and as he begins to exert more power, more influence on the Steeler organization. How do you feel about it? At 928-9370. Do you agree with the premise that that is actually what's happening? It certainly seems that way to me. This has been a coach-centric organization for decades, ever since Chuck Knoll rolled in and had the power of final say at the draft conferred upon him. Bill Cowher wins his power struggle with Tom Donahoe. That was an obvious sort of inflection point. Are you going to be more GM-centered or coach-centered? It's a coach-centric organization. And Tomlin had as much or more power as his predecessors. Just a ton of power to the point where I think he was Omar's boss, basically. And now Omar appears to be his own boss with Art somewhere in there. Of course, he's atop the food chain here when he wants to jump in and exert his influence. I don't know how often that is. I think it's Omar's show. You like it? Do you, Limits? Do you agree with the premise and do you like it?
I do agree with the premise because I think we just know how much of an influence and how much say Mike Tomlin had, especially considering how players would say, I'm here to play for Mike Tomlin, whether that was Aaron Rodgers, whether it was Patrick Queen, people that came here to play for that guy. So now it has to be a different strategy for Omar in different respects. And I think it's unquestioned that he's going to have significantly more power than previously. The cap guy that a lot of people make him out to be, does that transition well enough from what he's learned the last couple of years, when he learned from Kevin Colbert, to having that full control? I at least have some question marks. Yeah, I wonder.
I mean, don't you wonder about the personnel decisions that have occurred already, by and large?
I think Andy White will definitely have some say in that, too. So I wonder For if sure. he's the one that takes on significantly more of the personnel decisions and choices. I'd like to hear him talk at the scouting combine.
Okay, then are we blaming Andy Weidel for some of the rotten personnel decisions in the secondary and at receiver? I don't know. That's an open question, too. It's always such a mystery what's going on within the Steelers organization, isn't it?
Yes.
But at least that was a rhetorical question.
I know,
I didn't have to answer that. At least we know that
Khan
exerts some influence over the draft. And as a GM, you know, you're going to be attached to that part of your job description, regardless of what's happening, regardless of the power dynamics in the organization. So he's got to be attached to that so far. And so far, that part of it, like I said, has been pretty good, really. That's the encouraging part. And yes, I'm sure Weidel has a huge influence on that. And so did Tomlin. And the aim, as we knew from Weidel coming in, was going to be to fortify the lines and the offensive line, with the notable exception, perhaps, of Broderick blanking Jones. Omar telling media today at the Combine that he might not be ready for camp. I think they've done a good job of drafting there, and maybe some defensive linemen, too. Except that Cam Hayward's going to be on his way out, so that's going to be another draft need. And now with the Broderick Jones situation, it still might be a need on the offensive line. So when and where do you address these other positions? And, oh, yeah, what about a quarterback? Any ideas there? Does anybody, including Omar Khan, have any good ideas there moving forward into the future? A franchise quarterback? Seems kind of important. I'm not feeling great about this, oh, limitless wonder. Let's hear what the callers say. I'm not feeling great about it, yet I mean it when I say I'm open-minded. This is Omar's big chance. I'm open-minded to that. Who's up?
Let's start with Andrew in Monaco.
Andrew, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I've never been better in limits, values, your inquiry.
Okay, so there's a few things with Khan, a few things that I want to say. And number one is I don't know if I trust him yet, but I like that he's aggressive. And when I say that...
Are you Dr. Kornfeder?
No.
This sounds like Dr. Kornfeder, does it not, Limits?
I don't know the origins of Dr. Kornfeder.
Do you know the guy who worked in in promotions.
His name was Cornfetter?
No, that was his nickname. He was the original Dr. Cornfetter.
This in 2010?
Guy, are you Dr. Cornfetter?
I am not.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyways, I was just saying that I think that he does. He's a lot more aggressive than Colbert was. And Colbert was a lot more conservative, and I think that played into, you know, a lot of lack of, I don't know.
I don't know, because late in his tenure, it sure seemed like Kevin Colbert was pretty aggressive. Didn't they trade up and take a linebacker with the 10th overall pick? Didn't they trade Minka for a first-round pick? Didn't they? And we can agree and disagree. These by the way, appear to be bad moves. Then they go up and they get Kenny Pickett, or at least they take Kenny Pickett, 20th overall. I mean, they got pretty aggressive and started to spend more and all of that. I don't know. I think that part of Omar might be a little bit overrated. Thank you, Dr. Cornfetter. That was absolutely him, Limits, and I flummoxed him in the middle of that.
I never met Mr. Cornfetter.
By identifying him. I hope he's happily married. He was married 3 years ago. Wonderful man. Well, next.
Congratulations on all of his success. Here's our guy, Anthony, in Oakland.
Hello, Anthony.
Well, I think it's a change well needed here. Let's be clear. When Mike Tomlin was hired, it was the organization that said you're going to keep LeBeau and Arians. And it worked out very well. When Arians was dismissed by the owner, it was the owner who said, we're going to hire Todd Haley, and they've had some of the best offensive numbers this organization's ever had. So I'm glad to see some input, because it wasn't working under the old system.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. That's another reason I'm open to this, Anthony, is because it's no longer Tomlin's show. Tomlin's show folded, you know? So that doesn't necessarily mean this will be better, though, but I am open to it.
Oh, it was the same thing that happened in New England. It was Belichick's show until it stopped working.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always hear about Tomlin, you know, his assistants were getting hired around the league. Well, Belichick's were getting hired, but they were utterly unsuccessful compared to Belichick or anyone else. When you look at the people who were hired off his staff, they all failed. So, look, if this is going to be the model like Seattle's, where it's general manager-centric, and Los Angeles,
and Philly,
Rams, Philly, I'm happy with it. Because we needed an influence, and I'm glad McCarthy is acquiescing. Because he doesn't know everything either. He hasn't been very much successful either. So turn it over to someone. And first mission, get a quarterback. And if it's Malik Willis and you have to spend the market rate, get him. Because he's young and it will help this franchise. That's the first thing I want to see. Thank you.
Does Khan's track record so far in player acquisition, like outside of the draft, concern you?
No. They brought in some nice free agents. Asante Samuel's going to do nice. And please, can we do away with saying that it's time for this, the inside linebacker we got from Baltimore to go? Because does anybody remember that deep space hole we had after Shazier got hurt? Leave the inside linebacker alone.
Well, surely you would agree, Anthony, that several of the personnel acquisitions have been horrendous, from Darius Slay to Patrick Peterson to, didn't he bring in the alley cat, Allen Robinson, to Juan Thornhill, to not getting a receiver? I mean, clearly it's a mixed bag so far, right?
But I think those were Tomlin's decisions. Remember,
maybe.
He fell in love with all those players.
You might
he
be
fell
right.
In love with their pedigree. He fell in love with what they did in the past. Now Omar because Omar's drafts haven't been bad.
That's true.
They've been pretty good. So thank you. You're always a gentleman and a scholar, sir.
Thank you, Anthony. I like seeing Anthony at our various functions as well.
Yes.
He brings up two really good points, one of which I meant to sort of formulate before, but he did it for me. It might be a good thing. Maybe I already did say that earlier. It might be a good thing because it's no longer Tomlin's show. But as we see with coaches and quarterbacks and things like that, just because it's time for a change and you make the necessary change doesn't mean you're going to get the next one right. doesn't mean it's going to turn out well. You know what I mean? So just because it's not Tomlin's show anymore doesn't mean it's going to be a better show. But he's happy, and maybe some of you are too. Listen, give Omar a crack, is what Anthony was saying. And then the other point is, how many of these bad decisions were Tomlin's? I think clearly he is right about that. Patrick Peterson comes here because Tomlin wants him. Darius Slay, the same. And who knows who else? Like I said, it's very murky when it comes to the actual chain of command and who's doing what atop the Steelers organization. It's very unclear. But we are clear about this, that Tomlin had a ton of power. This could be the year of Omar. I don't know if you ever watched the show The Middle. What a great show it was.
Oh, The Middle.
Yeah. Remember The Year of Sue?
I watched probably 4 episodes of The Middle. I just thought the name of the show was very interesting. Why was it called The Middle?
Because it happened in Middle America, in Indiana. That's where the show was set. The Middle. Just a middle class family, probably lower middle class, trying to make it. And it was the woman from, what's her name?
I don't know.
The woman from Everybody Loves Raymond. Oh, come on. Her dad was a sports writer, Keaton.
Ray Romano.
Patricia Heaton. That's her name. And her dad is Chuck, who used to be a sports writer in Cleveland and is memorialized in the Cleveland press box.
Oh.
Maybe Ron Cook is as well. First mention of Ron today, isn't it?
No, actually the second, because you said the Ron Fathead. The Fathead is not put up there.
Actually.
The cardboard cutout.
Do the YouTubers get mad at too much Ron, too many Ron references, do you think?
I think the YouTubers just find things to get mad at.
Yeah. Are they mad at me yet today?
Probably. They're probably mad at me as well.
It's the year of Omar. He's all grown up. This is his show in many ways now. It certainly appears to be. I think he was highly influential in hiring the head coach. There's no more Mike Tomlin. And the all-powerful Mike Tomlin sort of acting really as Omar's boss in some ways, the guy with final say in a lot of ways. This is Omar's show. And Anthony in Oakland really got me thinking, is maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it will be. I just don't love the track record entirely so far. But then again, like Anthony said, I don't know how much of that was Tomlin. The bad personnel acquisitions. Or I should just say the bad acquisitions, because personnel makes that redundant limits. Anyway, speaking of Omar and Mike, it was very strange still the way that Tomlin left town. You coach that long and then you just are gone with the wind. That's it. 15-minute meeting with the owner. Everything normal here, I guess. Well, it turns out he spoke a little bit longer with Omar. Do we have that clip? Limits.
Here is what Omar Khan had to say, and I broke it up a little bit for you, Joe, into 3 different pieces about Aaron Rodgers and the potential that this process.
Were you paying attention?
No. I was taking calls.
I love that answer. No. I talked about the Tomlin thing that Omar said about how they met the day that he met Art. Do you have that clip?
No, I thought I did. If you give me 30 seconds, I will.
Of course, I can buy you 30 seconds limits. And I appreciate all you do back there. You're a very busy man. Did you finish your Egg McMuffin?
I did. It was very good.
It also goes well with hash browns, I might add.
I thought I recorded the Tomlin section. Turns out I just tweeted it.
That's okay.
I confused myself.
Yeah. You do what you need to do back there. Why don't we go to a call in the meantime, then?
Here is Mikey. He's in Johnstown.
Hello, Mikey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I've never been better. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. It's a pretty cold one out here today. I'm out reading meters for water utility.
Oh, my God. Tell me a little bit about that job. Are they easy to read? Like, you can do it in 1 second? You ever get a meter that's a little bit difficult to read, that's sort of like reading Sanskrit or something? How does that work?
It all depends on the route, but I usually get pretty lucky. Like, when I'm down in the city area, it's just walking house to house. It's on the outside of the house. Some of them I just scan it, and then some of the other ones I have to type in the numbers, but I have a tablet, so it's definitely more high-tech than back in the day.
So do you have people coming out saying, what the hell is going on here? Why are you looking at my house ever?
Yeah, not so much when it's cold like this. Nobody bothers me, but in the summertime, it's rough with the dogs and stuff. You definitely have to watch.
You ever been bit by a dog reading a meter?
I have, but luckily it's been only a small dog. Nothing too bad yet. But now, I've been doing this for like 6 years now.
Yeah. Are you authorized to fight back if you're attacked by somebody's animal?
I just carry spray on me. I have back off spray for the dog, so wow. That's all. Yeah.
Limits, you should get some of that for me. Does the back off spray.
Back off spray for you when you're approaching. Limits, running down the hallway.
Do you have a question for, what's your first name, sir?
This is Mikey.
Mikey, the meter reader.
Mikey.
This is incredible. Do you have a question for him, Limits? I'm very curious about this job.
Yeah, I honestly, when you like look at the meter and it looks like the pipes are like very rusty, how concerning is that? It's a very technical question, I know.
Well, that's actually the meter that's inside of the house. This is one that I'm mostly, we have a way that it goes to the outside for me to read it real fast. Mm. So there's only certain times that I have to actually go inside and read the meter that comes into the building. It's usually only for like businesses that I have to go inside and read the actual meter. But yeah, there is some times that I have like seen the pipes leaking and I have to even call my office and let them know to get the technician out here.
Outstanding question, Limits. You Thank definitely you. Advanced the conversation.
I always wondered that.
Mikey, we appreciate the work you do. That's a long day outside. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to say, I think I saw somewhere that I think this is the first time in Steelers coaching staff history that we're actually going to have a pass game coordinator. Mm. And I just wanted to say, I think it's time that we finally make a pull on a first-round receiver. And I know we might have to move up for the guy I want, but I really think Carnell Tate out of Ohio State would be a great selection for the Steelers. And now with Arthur Smith gone also, I think we're going to really see a different offense, but we still are really missing that wide receiver, and I don't think we're going to get it in the free agency. I think the number one guy is Pierce right now. And as good as he was last year, I just don't see it fitting in really well with us.
But yeah, I like him.
I could be wrong.
I like him. And yes, Brian Angelico, former Pitt guy, Doran Dickerson's tight ends coach from Pitt, is the pass game coordinator. Now, that's a name only. Have there been people before who fulfilled that role? Maybe somebody like Sully, a quarterback coach who also fulfilled that role? Well, I'm not really sure about that, but you're right. In name only, Angelico, I think, is the first pass game coordinator. I think he's right about that. I would have to check on that, Limits, as a matter of fact.
Well, he's the offensive coordinator. Isn't he listed as offensive coordinator / pass game coordinator, I guess?
I guess. Is that who you're thinking of, or who are you thinking of?
I think it's like the first time that we're actually like saying this is a position, though, which is crazy to me. But I think this shows that we're finally moving in the right direction, though, on the offensive side. But
I hope so. You can hire all the pass game coordinators you want, Mikey, the meter reader. You need a quarterback.
No, I agree with that. I mean, sadly, I mean, I love Rodgers, but we're going to have to just deal with another year of it. I mean, there's not much we can say about that. He's definitely coming back.
And your other question was about a wide receiver. Why don't you pass that to Limits? Yes. He's the draft Nick around here, not me.
I know he's a big Penn State guy, but if he saw the tape on Carnell Tate, I mean, I know it's going to be hard. We're going to have to probably move up to get him, but he would be, I think, a really game changer for the Steelers.
Yes, Mikey. Carnell Tate is a guy who has haunted my dreams as a Penn State fan. He is he is legit, man. Like, he is probably the number one wide receiver, him and Tyson from Arizona State right now is probably the two guys, depending on who does what at the combine and pro days and stuff like that. I really like Tate. If he's there around 17, 18, I think you have to trade up for him, maybe even higher than that. That's the type of weapon that is that much of a difference maker that can go next to DK Metcalf and could be a 1B type of receiver, I think.
Thank you, Limits. And thank you, Mikey. Yeah.
Thank you, Mikey.
We appreciate
it, man. Thank
you. See ya. I don't know. Is Angelico then the pass game coordinator? Have they officially named somebody pass game coordinator?
No, he's
or was Mikey the meter reader off base there?
Well, he was the pass game coordinator, Angelico was, in Minnesota.
What's Frank Cignetti doing other than choosing Pat Narduzzi's quarterback for the opener next year?
He's a senior offensive consultant.
Well, good for him. So they still don't have a pass game coordinator.
They do have a defensive pass game coordinator in Jason Simmons.
Well, thank God for that. They needed one of those. All right. You have that quote then?
Yes.
Let's hear Omar and his final conversation in person here with Mike Tomlin.
How did that go? Tomlin, you know, it's been an honor and a privilege to have worked side by side with him for so long. He was a great partner, and I'm always going to appreciate the times that we had. And we had a shared vision, and it was great. And I learned so much, and you know, I look forward to staying in touch with him. But like I said, a lot of respect. It was an honor and a privilege.
That's it. He said he talked for two hours with Mike Tomlin that day, but he only talked for 1 second about this. Is that quote chopped up limits? Or?
No, that was the quote that I was given.
Okay.
Maybe there's more that I need to dive into.
That's
here.
Okay. He did mention that they talked for 2 hours that day. I think Harry Callis pulled that clip earlier, which was interesting to me. Yeah. I know it's a shock that Harry would pull a clip. Believe me, I'm with you on that one, but I think he did. Okay, then let's listen to a Rodgers clip. Is that more than 1 second?
Yes, it's actually two. This is Omar Khan on the process for Aaron Rodgers. Is this going to be similar than last season?
Aaron, you know, I know you guys are going to ask me about Aaron. So, you know, nothing new to add. You know, I've been in communication with Aaron. I think Mike has. I know Mike has also. You know, very good communication, honest communication. But nothing new to report there, so.
Do you have a deadline?
No deadline. Now, all I'll tell you guys is I don't foresee this going like it did last year. So,
well, that's good that it won't go like it did last year. They have to impose a deadline here. Now, I think Doran said on the air he thinks they already know. Do you think they already know?
I do. I think they know. And this is, as Mike McCarthy said on a Milwaukee radio station, Aaron is just out skiing right now. And doing his thing and decompressing and eating his time away, which is what he said at the press conference, too, his opening presser.
Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback next year, right?
Yeah, he will.
I think so.
I think they've probably given as much of an assurance from Aaron Rodgers as they can get.
Then the question becomes, what's the other part of that plan? To draft somebody and develop Will Howard? Or what? I mean, to draft somebody and develop that guy or develop Will Howard?
I'm glad you asked, because we have the answer from Alan Saunders' clip.
I mentioned Aaron, but look, we're all in this. We all agree that you know, we're looking for that next franchise guy. You know, we're not there yet, and you know, we may have the guy on the roster. We don't know. And Will, we're excited to work with Will, but we know that it has to be addressed, and we're all looking for the same thing. We're just not there yet.
Do you feel like that person is potentially in this year's draft class?
There's some good players in here. You know, it's early. We have to go through the process. But, you know, I will say that I should have mentioned, you know, we're excited to work with Will. You know, Coach McCarthy, he's talked about how much he liked Will coming out. And, you know, him and I have spent some time watching his practice tape. Obviously, we didn't have the ability to watch him in games, which would have been good. He got hurt in the preseason. But, you know, we watched the all the practice tape and seen the progression, and there's some exciting stuff to see.
What? That last part didn't exactly sound like he was enthralled with this. And yeah, there's some exciting stuff to see. Can we get the last part of that, please, Limits? And it also sounded at the end almost as if he was remembering, oh yeah, that's right, I'm supposed to talk about Will Howard because all the fans love to hear about Will Howard. Let me get this pre-prepared talking point about Will Howard in at the end here. Let's hear that whole last clip again. Oh yeah, I forgot. I need to mention Will, just to mention him, because everybody likes that and we've gotten a lot of bad PR.
You know, we're excited to work with Will. You know, Coach McCarthy, he's talked about how much he liked Will coming out. And, you know, him and I have spent some time watching his practice tape. Obviously, we didn't have the ability to watch him in games, which would have been good. He got hurt in the preseason. But, you know, we watched all the practice tape and seen the progression, and there's some exciting stuff to see.
I can't get over that. The ending
sounds
of that
exciting.
Is tremendous.
Doesn't it sound forced? The Will Howard stuff sounds so forced.
That's what I said at the beginning of that, and I'm sorry I was talking over it. He says, oh, yeah, I should mention. It just sounded like, that was one of the talking points I was supposed to say when I met you guys today. Can you imagine how boring it would be, Limits, to go over Will Howard's or anyone's practice tape? And then he said he progressed in the practice tape?
That's a nice 5-yard check down there to Kenneth Gainwell. Huh?
Man, look at him.
No defenders.
Look at that pass down the middle he threw to Juan Thornhill. Wait, Juan Thornhill's jumping for the ball like he did in the game, and he's missing it.
Really, of all time.
Somebody sent me a meme of Juan Thornhill stretched out on that one infamous pass.
When he just has his hand behind him. He's like trying to mock the Jordan logo.
That is so good. So good. Will Howard. Okay. And again, this isn't about dismissing Will Howard either. I do have an open mind there that he could be one of the very, very few 6-round picks in the history of professional football to become a really good quarterback. He could. We'll know. That's the beautiful thing about this, is teams can say what they want. The proof will be in the pudding. If the Steelers draft a quarterback in the first, you know, 3 rounds or so, especially in the first round, we'll know that they were just blowing smoke on all this Will Howard stuff. If they go out and get Malik Willis or a legit starter type in free agency, and he might be about the only one that's realistic at this point, then we'll know it was all a bunch of crap, what they're saying about Will Howard. But if they go to camp with just Will and Mason and Aaron, then maybe they're telling us the truth, that they really are completely enamored with Will Howard. I wonder what happens to Mason in that scenario, by the way. Oh, limitless wonder. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Because it's hard to develop the third guy, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but like if Mason is technically your third string and he's okay with it, does Mason need any development? You'd probably just say, well, Howard, you're taking second string reps and
I guess
see what we get.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then Mason becomes a third string guy.
And at this point in Mason's career, he's probably okay with that. Still on a roster, still making his money.
All right. Coming up in the show, man, is there some good stuff. Mel Kiper's mock draft is out, and you'll be very, very, very interested to see who he has the Steelers taking. We have a Penguins trade deadline coming up. I was going to start with that today, but then Omar said a couple of notable things. By the way, one other thing he said was they have a high degree of interest in bringing back Kenny Gainwell, which I thought was interesting. And in case you missed it at the beginning, Omar said they don't know if Broderick Jones is going to be ready for training camp, which suddenly then to me puts tackle back in play. If he's not ready for training camp, what's the situation here? It's been a long time since he got injured. Is tackle back in play at the draft? Who's in hot water? Sponsored by Mr. Water Heater. I love that song. How does that go?
Call Mr. Water Heater. Call Mr. Water Heater.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's one of the good ones. Trust the experts. Call Mr. Water Heater today. What player or coach is feeling the heat right now? How about a GM? How about Omar? How about the theme of the whole first hour? He's in hot water at the moment. At least warm water. When you say hot water, he's not on a hot seat, but he certainly should be feeling the pressure because this is largely his show now. Listen to Poppin' Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. My voice sounds much better today. I was in an Uber with a guy named Pedro the other day.
Was this your Uber to the airport from Fort Lauderdale?
It was a 2-hour ride. And he was Dominican. And we had a great talk about who are the greatest Dominican baseball players of all time. Pedro Martinez being one, his namesake. But he also said this when I talked about my constant hoarseness. He said, here's what you need to do to fix that. Warm water with ginger root, you grate it, ginger root, lime, and honey. And I did it last night, and I did it this morning, and I haven't been hoarse. This guy's a miracle worker, and I got his card limits. And I'm going to go back there and thank him one day if this really works.
You like that one, horse?
Yes. Fan weather brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Tired of this weather and want to retire in Florida? Mm-hmm. Let Secure Money Advisors help plan your retirement. Today, cloudy with a high of Andy Russell, 34, and a low of Pie Trainer, 20. Ron had the first one-on-one interview with Pie Trainer, if you didn't know that. He also had a sit down with George Washington, that's little known.